Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, and it's the 1st of December. Now, what a riveting day. I will start right with the most interesting and the most exciting stuff. One of them was certainly what happened with crude oil here today. Of course, on Friday that it had the big downward acceleration that Owen discussed. Today it got down even lower. WTI actually reached 63.72 this morning, and that's Greenwich Mean Time. And the Brent actually got down to 67.53. Now, after that 67.53 Brent, it's trading right now on after hours at 72.89. So you've had a good jump there of over $5. And the same for the WTI. After its early low of 63.72, it's trading right now at 69.32 in after hours. So again, a good strong bounce from that oversold condition. What does that actually mean? Well, I think you've got every possible view out there in terms of what's actually going to be happening to oil. The bounce today certainly does not offset the downward dynamic that we saw on Friday. So much will depend on what the Saudis actually do in here. But they're playing basically a high-risk game in my opinion, and I'm certainly not going to be the only person commenting on it in that respect. But we feel very strongly that what they're trying to do is to knock off the shale, or certainly reduce the shale considerably. Now, it depends who you speak to as far as that shale activity. The bravest and boldest comments, and there may be a little bit of a bluff in this, is that, well, they've hedged well into 2015 and in some instances 2016 by using the futures market, so that they can deal with prices that go down even further, perhaps to $50. I think what's going to happen here, or what I would say, is that when people talk about the average price of shale oil production, they talk about it being in the $70 to $80 region, but that involves the purchase of the initial land for the shale drilling and the equipment that they need to set up their operations and the very expensive drilling that takes place. So once they've got the rights to the land, though, and once they've drilled at least the first hole, they've got several months of considerably lower costs thereafter. But then, as you know, there's a high drop rate in terms of production, given the nature of shale rock, before they have to move on to the next hole. So overall, it's not a cheap way to actually produce energy, but the firms that are sitting in the most favored positions here in terms of access to that shale oil, and they're going to vary inevitably with the geography, they can hold out for some time in here. But if I cut to the chase in this, and I've written about this, so I won't try to repeat all of that, but I think that there is a real risk that the Saudis overplay their hand and try to keep the oil price lower. That will certainly knock out some of the weaker producers, including some of the weaker or more highly leveraged shale producers. And it will also lead to a degree of recession in what has been one of the fastest growing, if not the fastest growing, industry within the U.S. In the last couple of years or so. So it's a mixed blessing for the U.S. Obviously, or most industries and certainly consumers all benefiting from lower fuel costs, lower gasoline costs, but to have a strong growing sector of the economy suddenly slow down fairly sharply, which is a real possibility now, as I say, a mixed blessing. Whereas some countries that imported almost all of their oil are going to do or going to benefit much more from these low prices, and that includes the includes India as much as any other country that I can think of. Now, what about precious metals here today? Because this was even more exciting, dare I say, considerably more exciting, because they were very weak on Friday, as you probably recall, and they were certainly weak this morning with crude oil. For instance, gold dropped down to $1,141.70, 1,141.7, and is now trading at $1,211.50, and it has been higher. It's been almost $10 higher in here today, maybe $8 higher. So it's a tremendous bounce back. And so you've got this huge upward dynamic getting down to that very low level and then straight back up. Well, and then let me mention silver, which sank, because silver's high beta gold, so it outperforms in both directions. And that slumped to new reaction low, 14.48 this morning. And then is exactly $2 higher, up at 16.48 as I speak, and that's also been another good 10 cents 10 cents higher in here, but a huge bounce back. So you've got these massive upward dynamics after those lows, or off those lows, I should say. And platinum almost restrained by comparison. For instance, the low at 1182.7, and then trading quite recently at $1,239. So the most dramatic things on the charts for years, those moves. So put it into perspective, off the lows, we have seen three huge upward dynamics. I mean, they become progressively bigger, which is really quite bizarre. Well, how can that be, and what's going on? Well, for months I've described these as playthings of the investment banks and probably the high frequency firms as well, and no doubt that still continues. But what it also shows, though, is that there's a heck of a lot of two-way activity, which was not really the case before. And that is certainly helping to lift these metals in here. Overall, I would say this kind of very choppy, volatile trading activity after what had been significant downward moves in these precious metals, I would say that's a bottoming characteristic that veteran subscribers will certainly recall, covering not just precious metals, but almost any instrument that's been hit really hard. So you have a supply-dominated environment driving it down, and then you start to get demand coming in increasingly strongly in a struggle, and then demand getting the upper hand. And I think that will happen again as people realize that above all other things, that precious metals are hard money, and paper currencies are not. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to move up suddenly and become the dominant performers here overall, but it certainly makes them very interesting, in my opinion. Okay, I just finish out on some of these commodities. The industrial metals bounced off lows. For instance, that high-grade copper fell down to 277.75 and is now at 290. So up on the day after that earlier sell-off. And most of these commodity markets are higher in here today, which you will not be surprised to hear. Okay, now let's go back to stock markets and start with the Asia Pacific region. First, Japan had a pretty good day, and a soft yen, 118.35 to the US dollar. And we had 0.75 percentage point to the upside in Japan. Now, the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, I think, definitely influenced by the protests that are taking place. Again, these student protests and wanting more democracy. But that fell 2.58%. So that's a big downward move here today on the Hong Kong Hang Seng. The Shanghai Composite Index, on the other hand, which has been so firm in recent weeks, was barely down, 0.1 percentage point to the downside. And other China-related markets, though, were softer, including Taiwan, down 0.75 percentage point. South Korea, softer by about the same amount, 0.75 percentage point. Australia, down nearly 2 cents here, so not liking the weakness in the resources sector. But those resources were at their very weakest early this morning, well, late Australia time. And so we may get at least a bounce in here. Well, that's what I would expect, a bounce tomorrow. S&P down a little, bigger pardon, the S&P BSE index, that's India, down just under 0.5 percentage point. And some other sell-offs, Malaysia down 2.3, Thailand almost unchanged, Indonesia up slightly, New Zealand up a fraction. Okay, and in the European markets, we saw again softness here, and the FTSE MIB, that's the biggest one, that's Italy, down 1.64%. The UK was, with the oil shares, was down nearly 1 percentage point. Euro stocks 50 down 0.5 percentage point. Wall Street a little lower in here, and this time the sequence is the wrong way around. It suggests that Wall Street is overbought, which you know, looking at the charts, and somewhat overextended, somewhat overvalued, and the NASDAQ is down a whole lot more than the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is down less than 0.3%, but the NASDAQ down 1.34, and the S&P down 2/3 of a percentage point. So, you know, we've had an awfully good run celebrating the passing of the midterm elections in the United States. Don't be surprised if we get a little bit of retracement and consolidation in here right now. And there are, again, those uncertainties over the shale industry, which is going to affect sentiment. And there's also that extremely cold weather. So, you know, there may be a few question marks over fourth quarter GDP and possibly beyond. Canada, Mexico, and Brazil. Brazil's absolutely clobbered in here, down 4.47%. That's got to be the biggest sell-off here today. And I think that pretty well covers it, except for government bonds, which I hadn't mentioned yet. Those yields picked up from the setback that we saw on Friday, but they're only U.S. 10-year, it's only at 2.235, so that's still quite low, although it does offset most of Friday's decline. I think it would need to push back above the 240 level to indicate that people were a little less worried about deflationary pressures and international events generally. So there we are. Interesting, exciting day, not least for precious metals. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.